Hey everyone, John here from Fly8MikeAlpha.com, and today we are taking you through Task E in Area of Operation 1, the Fundamentals of Instruction in the CFI PTS. Task E is the instructor responsibilities and professionalism, all right? The goal the FAA has here in Task E is to determine that the applicant exhibits instructional knowledge of instructor responsibilities and professionalism by describing the following, all right? So we need to be able to describe the following. I'm going to go ahead and describe it to you, so hopefully you get some ideas of how you would like to describe this on your practical test as a CFI. Now, let's describe aviation instructor responsibilities. So the first aviation instructor responsibility, helping students learn, all right? We need to make each lesson a pleasurable experience. High levels of student motivation are going to come from the student enjoying the lesson, all right? We need to use standards and measurements against those standards to help the student learn. All right, students want to feel capable and get satisfaction from successfully meeting the challenge of a difficult task. And we need to keep a clear objective in each task to maintain interest and keep it meaningful. All right, keep it nice, clear, concise. Each task must have a clear objective. And that's just basically, you know, saying, hey, you know, we use lesson plans for a reason because we put an objective at the top of them and it makes it clear and easy to understand. So that's how we're going to help students learn. Use lesson plans, make it a pleasurable experience, use standards, and make effective assessments of the student's performance. Now, the next aviation instructor responsibility is providing adequate instruction. What does that mean? Well, you need to properly analyze a student, make sure that your instruction is producing desired results, and provide instruction in accordance with the PTS, in accordance with the FARS. Make sure you're providing adequate instruction, a high level of instruction. This ties into the next aviation instructor responsibility, standards of performance, okay? So the standards of performance, the instructor is responsible for training applicants to acceptable standards in all subject matter areas, procedures, and maneuvers in each area in the ACS. And of course, look into the FARS for what do you need to teach a student for pre-solo? What are the aeronautical knowledge areas in Part 61 for a private pilot or a commercial pilot? All right, make sure we're training to high standards and we're hitting all those key areas mentioned in the FARS and mentioned in the ACS when we're training our students. We have to uphold those standards of performance that are specified, especially in the ACS. The next responsibility we have is to minimize student frustrations. How can you minimize student frustrations? Well, you know, it's really frustrating when you don't know how well you're progressing. Provide accurate and often assessments of your students, okay? Tell them where they're at in their training. They're a quarter of the way done. They're 30% of the way done. Each time you pull out the next lesson plan, each time you meet, show them where they're at on the syllabus and how they stand in relation to the average student and how much more they have left. When will the bleeding stop? This is so expensive. How can I ever afford to get my private pilot license? I'm just hemorrhaging money paying you, Mr. CFI. So minimize their frustrations by telling them where they stand, how much more it's going to cost, how they're progressing, and keeping them informed of their progress overall will help minimize frustrations. Also, don't cancel lessons on them. If they show up and the weather's terrible and you can't go fly, well, make it a teaching moment. Maybe replace it with a ground lesson. They made the trip to the airport, make it count for something. Also, don't do so many ground lessons because the weather's always terrible that you're just milking them for money. So it's a fine balance there. But take a lesson to just walk out to the airplane, sit in the cockpit while it's pouring rain, close the doors, and point to every single individual item on the instrument panel and ask them to tell you the name of it, how it works, and what the failure modes of it are. I bet you'll find a few things on the panel that they don't know about, maybe even you don't know about. If the weather's good but it's too windy, maybe go outside and pop the cowling or go in the maintenance hangar where they have an airplane in there for annual inspection or 100-hour inspection and look underneath the cowling and point to every single part and piece of that engine and ask them to identify what it is, how it works. So they actually learn things about the engine. They may say, oh, I know about engines. I know spark plugs and magnetos and this and that. But now you point to something, they're like, oh, I don't know what that is. Oh, well, that's actually the pressure switch, the oil pressure switch for the Hobbs meter, or this is your oil temperature line that runs into the cockpit. Take the opportunity to develop some of those higher order thinking skills of posing problems to them. What is this? How does it work? And how might it fail? How might it bite you in the butt? All right. Other things that minimize student frustrations, give credit when credit is due, criticize constructively, be consistent. Do not be, you know, fluctuating and say, oh, well, that landing was terrible. And then the next day they do one the same way and you don't say anything about it. You criticize them for being left to center line one time. You need to do that fairly consistently. And if they're left of center line, you criticize them one time, and the next time you say, no, it was a good landing, But they were left to centerline again. You need to be consistent, all right? Students want to please instructors, but be consistent in how you critique them. And admit errors when you make errors. This is one of the most frustrating things for students. There's times where I just misspeak. Luckily, I edit out those things and you don't hear them in this podcast. But there's times where I misspeak in person with students, or I forget something, or I'm not quite sure of the question the student asked me. I'm just not that sharp on the subject matter. I haven't seen it in a while. And guess what? I need to admit when I make an error. If I say something incorrect, I need to say, whoa, sorry, let me stop. I said that wrong. Erase that from your mind. Or just acknowledge when I don't quite know something, and so I don't want to talk about it just now. Give me a few minutes to go brush up or do some research. We can talk about this later. Admit when you don't know it. The student will still respect you. They understand you're a human being. But if you start making up BS and they find out it's BS, which they inevitably will, they can see it probably written on your face, they will lose respect for you, and it will be very frustrating, and they'll lose confidence in you as an instructor, okay? So that is how we could minimize student frustrations as an instructor. Now, let's talk a little bit about flight instructor responsibilities, okay? That was our aviation instructor responsibilities. These that we're going to talk about now are flight instructor responsibilities. What's the difference? Doesn't matter. All you need to know is you need to know all of this stuff because it's all in the CFI PTS. So what are flight instructor responsibilities? Well, you need to produce the safest pilots possible. You need to be focused on education and learning, lifelong learning. Be an example. Always show the student that this is not just training and then you're a pilot. It's training to become a pilot, and you're always going to be learning and building upon that skill. You need to produce the safest pilots possible. That is one of your key responsibilities. You must create correct and good habit patterns in the students, always using checklists, always taking their time, not taking risky chances. You must correctly evaluate the students at every phase so that you're not missing anything, using a syllabus, using a checklist yourself as you train them to make sure you're not missing things. That is one of your key responsibilities, or those are some of your key responsibilities as a flight instructor. Now, they also ask us to explain, what are the psychological obstacles for flight students? This falls under flight instructor responsibilities. Well, uncomfortable feelings cannot be ignored or ridiculed. Don't make fun of the student because they're nervous about doing a 45-degree bank turn. All right, you have to explain to the student the cause and effect of what they're doing. You have to explain to them why this is important, why the airplane's behaving this way, and that it's okay. And you have to be understanding and empathize with the student. Do not make fun of them. Don't let other people make fun of them. And you can't ignore if they're uncomfortable, all right? Those are some of the psychological obstacles for flight students. Now, let's talk about ensuring the student ability. This is one of your responsibilities as a flight instructor to ensure student ability. The students must show competency in takeoffs, landings, maintaining control of the aircraft, blah, 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 blah. All the things listed in Part 61 for the certificate or rating sought. All right. They must show knowledge in the special emphasis areas, which are critical to flight safety. Now, these are 16 or 17 areas the FAA really wants to drive home. This comes from the old PTS, and in the ACS, they have supposedly incorporated all these special emphasis areas into the entire ACS, into those aeronautical decision-making areas, into HOTS, higher order thinking skills. But for us, because we're still stuck on the PTS as CFIs, they haven't updated it yet to ACS. Hopefully they will here soon, and then we'll come up with some updates for you on the online course. You need to make sure that they're fully educated in everything in Part 61, all those items for the certificate of rating sought, and you need to make sure they're hitting the special emphasis areas in the PTS, even though they don't use the PTS anymore for any of the other ratings like private or instrument or commercial. But that's what it says in our flight instructor handbook. So basically, ensure the student ability. How will you do that? Refer to Part 61, hit those items, refer to the ACS, make sure you're training those items. They're meeting or exceeding the standards. The next part here is instructor professionalism, all right? So it's your responsibility to strive to maintain the highest level of knowledge, training, currency, and proficiency as a flight instructor. Being a part-time flight instructor is hard. It's a wonderful thing to share your experience with others and be a part of aviation, but if you're just teaching on the weekends, let's be real here. You're not as good as someone who's teaching 5 or 6 or 7 days a week like most flight instructors who are trying to pay rent do, all right? It's lifelong learning. Whether you're teaching 7 days a week or 2 days a week or once a month, it's always going to be lifelong learning. You got to make time for it. Training and currency and proficiency of yourself is very, very important here. As far as professionalism goes, you must be sincere, straightforward, honest, competent, and qualified. You cannot be pretentious or cocky. Congratulations, you're a flight instructor. You've got lots of experience, lots of time. You've flown lots of different airplanes, more than most of the people in the flight school that you work at. Be humble. Do not be pretentious. There's always more for you to learn. If I've learned anything as a flight instructor, it's that there's a lot of stuff I don't know and that I probably never will. All right. And I can learn things from anyone, from a private pilot, student with 2 hours in their logbook, or from a commercial pilot with 50,000 hours in their logbook. I can learn something from everyone. Be humble. That is the one thing. And it's taken me years to really, truly learn that, but it is absolutely true. And I think that will be apparent to you as you teach over the next few years here. Now, we also have to accept the student. We can never degrade, ridicule, or give unfair reprimand or comparison to students, okay? You have to have acceptance of the student however they come to you, whether, they're a different color, different race, different ethnicity, they got an accent, whatever it is, you have to accept the student and care about them. You have to treat them professionally. Personal appearance and habits, being neat, clean, appropriately dressed, and courteous, those are important things as a CFI. Don't be a dick on the radios at a non-towered airport. Don't be smart to ATC. Personal appearance, habits, neat, clean, appropriately dressed, those are important. Don't look like a slob, don't be covered in oil, and be courteous to everyone, not just your students, everyone around the airport, everyone you encounter. Life's a lot easier that way. And of course, we all have bad days, but always strive for these goals of professionalism, being courteous. All right. The next thing is your demeanor. You need to be calm, thoughtful, disciplined. Avoid erratic movements and being all jerky and spastic. Some people are kind of weird like that. Try to be calm, smooth, and just relaxed. Distracting speech habits or capricious changes in mood. Some people go from just being really calm to just freaking off the wall, insane, off the handle. That just makes people uncomfortable, all right? We all can fall into that trap. Some things really get under my skin, and I can go from being calm to not so much pretty quickly. But that's distracting for a student. They focus more on that and how cuckoo you are than what you're actually trying to convey to them, all right? Distracting speech habits, like, that can be really distracting. Any sort of weird tics you might have, try to keep those in check. I used to say a lot. Well, now I edit that out a lot in my videos and audio files, but I also have just really worked hard to remove that from my speech. One of the hardest things for me when I started making YouTube videos many years ago and putting my instruction out there on the internet, I got nailed and just trashed in the comments section for saying too many times. And I was like, do I do that? And yeah, I do. Listening to myself editing my videos and these podcasts is painful sometimes, and luckily it's gotten better over the years, but boy, I was not really that good of an instructor when I started out doing this stuff, when I started out teaching and started out on the YouTube stuff. So watch those little distracting speech habits like, or you know. So that can also be a distracting speech habit, but I still use that one. Now, proper language is the last part of professionalism we want to talk about here. Obscene language leads to distrust and a lack of confidence in the instructor, okay? One fuck in there might be okay, but try not to say that stuff, all right? It has no place in instruction. Little words like shit or damn or whatever, remove those obscene words from your language. We all use it, in our everyday life, or we shouldn't, but a lot of us do occasionally. You stub your toe, you say some expletive. Try not to say that in front of a student. It really undermines your position and your professionalism. It's not professional to do those things, all right? Hold yourself to a high standard. And quite frankly, you'll find that people like you better if you can remove those things from your everyday vocabulary. Now, moving on from professionalism into evaluation of student ability, the next flight instructor responsibility, evaluation of student ability. All right, we have demonstrated ability, so the student has to master the elements involved in a maneuver or procedure. We need to evaluate that. We need to keep students informed of their progress, all right? So always let them know how they stand on each lesson towards the completion standards. Let them know how they stand against the ACS, the overall completion standards, right, for their certificate or rating, and keep them informed of how they're progressing throughout the syllabus. How many more lessons do we have before you're ready for a stage check? How many more lessons do we have after that before you're ready for a check ride? All right, let them know through effective assessments and corrective measures how they're doing. Always give those corrective measures of how they can improve when you're assessing them. And then it's also important under the evaluation of student ability, to correct student errors. So you want to allow the student to make a partial mistake, but then you need to correct it, all right? So you let them bounce a landing, that's okay, but don't let them porpoise 5 or 6 times and let the nose gear snap off. That'd be really bad. It's your responsibility to maintain the safety of flight, but allow the student to make small errors. If it's a huge error, you might want to nip it in the bud before it goes terribly wrong. Like, hey, you're about to stall and we're 100 feet over the ground, let's not do that. But if they're about to, you know, accidentally stall the airplane because they're distracted by something reading a checklist and they're up at 3,000 feet, well, heck, you know, if you've already cleared the area and you know it's safe to do it, well, that might be okay. Or you let the stall horn come on and then recover. That'll really catch their attention and drive the point home. That makes learning vivid. So let them make some errors, but you need to correct the errors, show them the correct way to do things, and don't let it get too far out of hand. Some small partial mistakes are good. Not massive ones, right? We don't want to be having NTSB reports written at the end of our lesson. That's not part of our normal written evaluation or critique is an NTSB report. We want to avoid those, right? So an important thing to note here is as you're a new instructor, you need to stay within your envelope of comfort, okay? As you instruct more, 200, 300, 400, 500 hours, you'll let the student start to make some more mistakes. You might be quick to jump on the controls early on, and that's all right. Just recognize it's not helping the student any, but if that's what it takes to maintain the safety of flight, you must do everything you can to maintain safety of flight. And if you're not comfortable getting a few feet off centerline, you feel like the airplane's getting out of hand, you got to maintain positive control and grab hold of it before you lose control of the aircraft or before it's too late for you to regain control of the aircraft. So allow some small mistakes. Don't ever allow the student to make a mistake that creates something that would be unsafe or enters you into an unsafe situation. That's your responsibility, and that'll change as you get more comfortable as an instructor, but make sure you're not getting complacent there either. Now, moving on here, aviation instructors and exams, what are your responsibilities as it pertains to aviation instructors and exams? Well, it's your responsibility to give a knowledge test endorsement to the student once they have shown you that they're ready for the written exam. Maybe they get their knowledge test endorsement from us, from doing our private pilot ground school at flyatmikealpha.com, and we endorse them for the test, then we're taking care of that for you. And it's also your responsibility to provide any additional training needed. Now, well, we guarantee at flyatmikealpha.com if they do their private or instrument or commercial training with us on our online course and we endorse them for the written, that they're guaranteed to pass the written, and everyone always has. Well, you might still have to do some additional training if they get a few questions wrong, because that's typical. Somebody gets a 90 or 95%. There's a few things you want to brush up. That's part of your responsibility. For the practical test, the applicant must thoroughly demonstrate knowledge in a skill level that's required, all right? So refer to the ACS and make sure that they thoroughly demonstrate the knowledge and skill level required before you give them an endorsement for the practical test. And specifically, it's mentioned here that the instructor is accountable for solo flight endorsements, right? So you endorse somebody for solo flight, you're responsible when they're out there flying on their own. But let's be real here. You're responsible and accountable for everything you do with that student and after the fact. You put your name in their logbook, whether it's an endorsement for the practical test, an endorsement for solo flight, or you just did a flight lesson with them, you're accountable, you're responsible. Make sure you're complying with everything we talk about in these audio lessons. Make sure you're complying with everything in the CFI PTS. Make sure you're doing everything right, complying with all parts of the FARS to provide adequate instruction, because you are always responsible for that student. After they get their private, they go out and they have an accident or they damage an airplane, they hurt themselves, hurt somebody else, it's on you. So make sure you're providing adequate instruction. You're responsible for everything. Here's how I do it, right? Do I sign somebody off for solo flight? Have they met the requirement for me to be able to sign them off for solo flight? I just ask, well, if they were my child, would I want this person to go fly by themselves? Would I want my kid to go fly by themselves without me in the airplane if they were at this level? And if the answer is yes, and they've met all the other requirements in Part 61, then I'll probably give them the endorsement. Now, when it comes time for the private pilot, they can load their family up and fly cross country from Florida to California. So what I ask is, would I want, you know, my children and my dog and my mom and dad and whoever to get into the airplane with this person and fly across the country with them as the pilot? Well, if the answer is no, they're not going to get endorsed for a private pilot check or whatever rating they're applying for, certificate they're applying for. But if that answer is yes, I'm comfortable putting my own family in the airplane with them and me not being there, then that's probably a good, you know, way to compare it as to whether or not I'm ready to give that endorsement. Of course, they have to meet all the requirements in the ACS in Part 61. Lastly, For instructor responsibilities, we have professional development. We talked about this a little bit briefly before, but it's a fast-changing, crazy world out there. Instructors must constantly improve their qualifications, effectiveness, and services they provide to students. You must never be complacent. You will never have all the answers. You will never know everything. And the more you instruct, the better you will probably get as an instructor, but there's always, always room to improve, always more to learn about, always things to brush up on that you've forgotten about, and things are always changing with our regulations, with different advisory circulars, changes and updates to the PHAC or the AIM or whatever it might be. There's always going to be changes. You need to stay up on it. How are you going to do that? Well, come up with a systematic plan for it, but an easy way to do that is to attend regular CFI workshops from your local FAA safety team, the local FAST team. They host a CFI workshop in each FISDO every quarter. So four times a year, there's a CFI workshop. You want to learn more about it, call your local FISDO, ask to talk to somebody from the FAST team and ask them about CFI workshops, how you as an instructor can stay up to speed in this changing world with new technology, new regulations, new rules, and how you can constantly improve your qualifications and effectiveness as an instructor, part of that professional development. Number six in the PTS for flight instructor responsibilities, all part of Task E, Instructor Responsibilities and Professionalism, in Area of Operation 1 of the CFI PTS, the Fundamentals of Instruction. That is it for Task E, Instructor Responsibilities and Professionalism. We'll be moving on next to, you guessed it, Task F.